He is the documentarian who made the Emmy Award-winning film Gasland in 2010, a film which changed our perception of fracking in this country, and in fact, around the world. And now he is back. His new film tours 20 cities before its HBO premiere in July. We are fortunate indeed in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, to host the screening of Gasland 2 at Brockle Middle School. And the creator, filmmaker, director, writer, musician, and environmentalist activist will be with us at that screening on June 17th. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon, WDIY 88.1 in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and we remain, George Miller, along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle. Today, we are talking with Josh Fox.
I was going to say, Josh, in preparing for this interview today, just a little anecdote, I went online and I went to YouTube and I thought, there must be a trailer. So I go to look for the trailer and I get this, I don't know quite how to describe it, faux trailer, obviously, something between a B-movie and a little bit of science fiction. And it was clearly, a rebuttal? I mean, it was kind of stunning.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the gas industry or, some of their advocates have put out a, I think it's the first time I've ever heard of this. A trailer attacking the film before the film even has the trailer, but let alone before the film came out. No. So I think that's a first. But basically, no, we don't have our trailer, our legit trailer up yet. HBO hasn't done it yet, so it should be out in a week or two. I think that's about 6 or 7 months old. Once we announced that Gasland 2 was going to, that existed.
Right.
Immediately, oil and gas tried to attack it in every way possible, and there have been persistent and consistent attacks, basically since the first film came out, since before the first film came out in 2010. If you Google search my name or the name of the film Gasland, you get a link, the first sponsored link. Which Google makes money off of, by the way, which attacks myself, the families in the film, the facts in the film. It's a very concerted effort by industry front groups like Energy in Depth and a whole lot of other folks to try and discredit the families that are in the film, the facts that are in the film, all aspects of Gasland, I think, because, it is very damning. The things that we found in investigating fracking and gas drilling are enormously disturbing. Widespread water contamination, air pollution problem, which is regional in scale wherever the drilling agent goes. Health problems associated with the chemicals, the trucks, all the industrialization that goes along with this. When you industrialize a residential area, whether that's an urban area or a rural area or a wildlife area, you're going to have issues with the amazing amount of chemicals that are in that environment when the frackers come in. This form of energy exploitation, which is being touted as something that will save America,
right,
and make America energy independent, is actually, an incredibly toxifying, destructive process that's wrought on Americans by multinational oil and gas companies, the same old folks that we've always been dealing with. Mm-hmm. And what their real plan is to export that gas overseas by, we go into this in the second film, by shipping it through liquefied natural gas ports. And when they start putting natural gas on the international market, all the natural gas prices are going to go up. So don't convert anything you have to natural gas right now, because right now the price is low. But the plan is to start to export this gas in a classic developing world exploitation economy. And when that happens, the gas prices will double, according to the Energy Information Authority. There's this attack campaign. It's been very, very, at times it's been very, very personal. Mm-hmm. At times it's just a attacking things that are very well known, and some of the arguments have been totally absurd. But it does affect certain people.
Well, I was going to say, it's interesting to me that when you see that kind of response, just, you know, like the YouTube video, my sense is that someone obviously feels very threatened, and they've got a tremendous investment in what it is that they feel is threatened. That had to be present as you were making Gaslamp 1, but of course the film hadn't been, you know, until the film was released and that impact felt and that conversation changed by it. How did it affect the making of Gaslamp 2, knowing that now you're going into this environment, that you're really aware of that kind of response from the industry, and you're aware of the kind of attack that you're going to, or the focus, the spotlight you're going to be under?
Well, you know, making Gaslamp 1, some people know the story, but I got involved in this never having had any interest in natural gas or energy extraction or drilling. I got involved in this because the gas industry came to my doorstep, as they have to millions across America, being in the Upper Delaware River Basin, which is that watershed, part of the watershed for 15 million, 16 million people. It was a very alien concept to think about oil and gas drilling in this area. This is a pristine and beautiful area. So what I was doing at the beginning was just making like a 5-minute YouTube video, something that would educate my neighbors, something that would do a little research into fracking, and that's where I thought it would stay. Quickly figured out that this was a much, much bigger topic than something like that, and really devoted a lot of energy and time to it. A miracle of miracles, we got into the Sundance Film Festival, which is a huge platform. Then it was picked up by HBO, and it went all over the world. It was it's been seen now in 30 countries or something like that by approximate audience of about 50 million people on television, and in all those places. And then, you know, nominated for the Oscar and won an Emmy, and it's just been a constant, total change of life since that day. Toured to 250 cities with the film. So, you know, life became completely different once the gas industry knocked on the door. And that's happened to so many people, not just me, but once you realize the frackers are coming to town, your whole life gets absorbed. Your free time gets taken over. You spend every waking moment trying to fight these people off. These are the largest multinational corporations in the history of corporations. So, you know, with this new film, it was less about looking at how they were attacking us, but how they were attacking science and how they were affecting the government. Because what I really wanted to know, look, we had this thing that just, you know, no pun intended, blew up all over the place, went on fire all over the place, and then all of a sudden I started to realize, well, why isn't the government reacting? Why is this, when this is millions of Americans coming forward, upset, complaining, you know, fighting for their lives against this industry, why don't we have an appropriate reaction from our government, whether that was our Democratic governor, Ed Rendell, in Pennsylvania at the time, or Barack Obama, or any of the, people who we thought would be natural allies? What's going on here? And so what I found was it goes so far beyond just the idea of smearing the movie. It's really the tobacco industry's playbook.
Right.
You know, for decades, and we know a lot of specifics about that, so that was one of the points of departure for the new film. For decades, the tobacco industry destroyed science. They created bogus science. They went out with alternate opinions that said tobacco is perfectly healthy and good for you. And for decades, they were able to stop, any action at the level of popular uprising or the government in regulating or changing the way that the tobacco industry was able to advertise itself and what they were able to do. And they created a strategy whereby if they created doubt about the facts, not to say that their arguments were valid.
Right.
In most cases, their arguments are totally absurd, in the same way that the gas industry is totally absurd when it says, gas and oil are in water naturally and we can naturally light water on fire in all these places. It's absolutely insane. It's just not true. There are places where you have low background levels of methane in groundwater, of course, but, you know, we also know scientifically that methane is much more likely to migrate into your water supply when these gas wells fail, and we know from engineering perspective how often they fail, which is quite often. And yet at the same time, what they're doing is out there trying to confuse people deliberately, not so that people believe their arguments, But so that there's a perception that there's a debate. When there's a perception that there's a debate, we find time and time again that that most people don't actually take action.
Right.
And that's what's happening at the government level. So this is very, very clever. And it's media manipulation, it's science manipulation, it's manipulation of the public, and they have tried and true results. And what we found out is actually that the natural gas industry hired the same PR firm, Hill & Knowlton, that was used by the tobacco industry for decades that developed this strategy of creating doubt and creating a debate. And a lot of that's in the film right now, but it's also outlined in a brilliant book by a woman named Naomi Oreskes called The Merchants of Doubt.
Yes.
And they've done this to the climate movement and the climate change, and they've decided to make a debate, even though 97% of scientists believe that, you know, climate change is man-made. There's still this idea that there's a debate out there, but these are really just oil and gas, you know, arguments that are being put in there to confuse people.
Yeah, we want to assure our listeners that on Brockle Middle School, that's at 114 West Morton Street in Southside, Bethlehem, will be screening Gasland 2 Monday, June the 17th at 6:30. This is George Miller and Kate Scuffle for Lehigh Valley Art Salon, and we are chatting with Josh Fox here on WDIY.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Arts Academy Charter School, serving students in grades 5 through 8, a tuition-free, arts-enriched public school. Academic curriculum is enriched by classes in dance, figure skating, theater, music, and visual arts. Students have artistic as well as academic instruction each school day. For more information, arts-cs.org.
WDIY proudly supports Allentown Public Theater's Actors in Action Festival. It opens June 13th, 14th, and 15th with The Atheist, a one-man show by Ronan Noon. Continues June 21st, 22nd, and 23rd with the darkly funny sensitivity training by local playwright Jennifer Santos. And closes June 28th, 29th, and 30th with The Unnamed Body Project at the Antonio Salemme Foundation, 542 Hamilton Street in Allentown. For tickets and information, allentownpublictheater.com.
60% of Pennsylvania lies over a huge shale sprawl called the Marcellus, and that has been in the fracking industry sites since 2008. The corporations that are exploiting the shale come to our state with lavish federal entitlements. Well, we're chatting with filmmaker and environmental activist Josh Fox. Welcome back.
Thanks so much.
With all the science, with all the facts, with all that we've been talking about, what Gasland allowed people to do was meet people being affected by this and to hear their stories and to have a face-to-face human encounter, you know, to bring it down to scale. Is that something that we can look forward to in Gasland 2? And what else, in what ways is Gasland 2 different? Why did you reapproach, what made you come back to this?
Well, yeah, of course, we follow some of the same families as they continue their struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our favorite people from the first movie, John Fenton and Lewis Meeks in Wyoming, Calvin Tillman, the mayor of Dish, Texas, the town that renamed itself Dish to get 10 free years of Dish Network. And we follow some new people as well, and we watch as they have to either face the choice of to stand and fight or move, or literally move, clear out of town. And, you know, that was the whole purpose of the first film, was to introduce people who were from totally different worlds. This was, you know, a survey of America, and also really a portrait of American character and American resilience. You know, that people in Wyoming and with their accents, and people in New York with their accents, and people in Pennsylvania and Texas and Colorado were all facing exactly the same things. And there were examples of heroism. So we continue to follow those in the new film. But really, it's about what happens not when they encounter the drilling, but now when they encounter government agencies that are supposed to help them, and how that gets undone in many ways. Gasland 2, you know, is an investigation into another layer of contamination due to fracking. It's not the water being lit on fire, it's our democracy being lit on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's every bit as shocking and dismaying and angering as the first movie. But it's also every bit as inspiring, I think, when you see the people who are really fighting this.
And I think things I've read about Gasland 2, it seems to indicate you're also taking us to an international level of looking at this in parallels to things like, as you said, climate change and the conversation about climate change and how we're being led to believe that that science is out on that, that kind of thing. And so talk a little bit about, again, the internationalization fascinates me.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Obama administration under Hillary Clinton's State Department developed something called the Global Shale Gas Initiative. And that was described as a government-to-government engagement to develop shale gas around the world. They identified, I think it's 30 or 32 countries where there were these shale plays, and we show that map in Gasland 2. It truly starts to become a world-spanning, world-changing form of energy exploitation. So I go to South Africa, I go to Australia, there are clips from Europe about, you know, all these people who are up in arms about the same things that we are in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does put it in perspective, and that's really worrying considering the fact that frack gas, we know right now from the science, is the worst fuel you can develop with respect to greenhouse gas emissions.
Mm-hmm.
The gas industry would have you believe that they're better than coal, that it's less carbon into the atmosphere. Well, that's true. It burns 50% cleaner gas than coal in terms of CO2. However, when you frack all this gas, you're emitting huge clouds of methane into the atmosphere, and methane is leaking out of the pipelines, out of the condensate tanks, the transmission lines, every stage of the delivery process. Methane is leaking into the atmosphere. So when you add up all the methane leakage, which field studies are showing it between 5%, 9%, huge amounts of methane, 9% of the total product, means that methane is 105 times more potent at trapping heat in the atmosphere than CO2 in the 20-year time frame. In the short time frame, methane stays in the atmosphere and it's very, very potent. So frack gas in the short time frame, which is really all we have left to solve the problem, is way worse than CO2. And when you combine all of these effects, both the CO2 from burning and the methane in the atmosphere, you get the worst fuel that you can use with respect to greenhouse gas. This is not good news because we're heading in the direction of fracking like crazy all over the world.
Right.
It means we're going to accelerate climate change. This is very, very scary. And so we report on that in the new film.
And we're, you know, I'm sitting in Brockwell Middle School on Monday. I watched the film. I'm moved. I'm shaken. I want to take action. And I think, I don't know if it's a particularly American response, so, you know, we'll do something like turn off the lights or switch to a gas-saving car. We do our little things, but it feels like this, what you're asking us to consider is that this is a problem that we need to make greater responses to. What would you hope the audience's response is?
Well, my motto has always been spend, you know, 5% of your time changing your light bulb and 95% of your time changing your politician. What we have to do is reinvent democracy. It's nothing short of that. Our democracy is no longer serving us. That is very clear from so many different angles when you're talking about corporate influence on policy, but especially so when you're dealing with anything related to oil and gas. Oil and gas industry, there's a report called Fracking in the Revolving Door in Pennsylvania, by the Public Accountability Initiative, in which they say that the agencies that are out there to protect the people have literally been captured by the industry, and that there's so much changing sides and so many lucrative positions offered to people who are supposed to be protecting the public that it's literally become corrupt. And that's what we find in investigating this in Gasland 2. So what we're encouraging, and this is the reason why we're doing this tour. I mean, the film is going on HBO. It's going to go into 40 million homes.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why the tour is so important is to get out with the nonprofits and get out with the organizations that exist. And there are anti-fracking organizations all across Pennsylvania, in every tiny little town in New York. When we were in Colorado, we saw huge crowds and people mobilizing to ban fracking. And the same thing, we went to California, and we launched Californians Against Fracking by submitting 100,000 signatures on a petition to Governor Brown. 100 organizations already joined Californians Against Fracking in the last 6 months. It's just spreading like crazy. And you know, to come to the screenings is to be able to start to take charge if you're not already involved in the movement in your democracy. And that's what we're asking people. It's going to take another level of participation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something where you can sit at home and click on a link and this is going to change. You have to get out there. And whether that means showing up to protest or figuring out what you can do democratically to re-engage you know, the democracy is not something static. It's something that has to be recreated and reinvested and, you know, reinvigorated all the time, especially in the face of undemocratic threats. And these companies have more money than any companies have ever had in the history of companies, in the history of money, as Bill McKibben likes to say.
Yeah.
And you know, it really means a citizen outpouring that has to come and take our government back. It has to come and take a stand for public health and stand for the future generations and for this generation and saying, look, this is not the direction we want to go in. And right now, our government is subject to so much financial pressure and political influence that they're not standing up for us. We have to stand up for ourselves. So that's why I come to this screening. We're going to be able to hook people up with this movement, which, by the way, you know, when you think about a movement, you're like, oh, God, what a drag. I don't want to go to all these meetings. People are going to talk and everything. That's absolutely not the truth. I am amazed every single day, utterly amazed, at the outpouring of innovation and creativity and love and positive vibes and just the feeling of rolling up your sleeves and getting something done that happens as a consequence of this crisis. It is the most inspiring thing that I've ever witnessed, and it's the best thing I could ever do with my time, which is why I've continued to do it now for 5 years. It is just it is a great place to be alive because, you know, the ambition is to change the world, but if you change the world, you want to change it every day.
Well, it is certainly working because I might want to share this with you. We have been very close to the government or the country of Ireland, and the government there has actually banned fracking until that they find out more what's happening scientifically. So we were very blessed to show the film Gasland with your permission and the permission of the agents in Ireland about 2 years ago.
About 2 years ago, and there
was
a government official in the audience we didn't know about. It was interesting who held people. They were out on the street for about 2 hours after Gasland, just talking and talking and talking. It was just striking to me that how immediate and personal it was. But yes, I my last question for you, I think we're running out of time, would be tell me a little bit more about this. Has to have been this kind of unexpected tidal wave of how this has changed your life. How does it feel? What's been surprising? What's been rewarding?
Well, being out on the road is one of my favorite things. I mean, you know, when we were able to tour the Mountain West and, you know, on the way between Colorado and California is the Grand Canyon and Death Valley, and, you know, I mean, but the truth is that, you know, there are all these national treasures that I get to look at and go as I'm going around. The truth is that our real national heritage is in democracy, and it is in people getting together. I mean, we often think of Americans as selfish and individualistic, and we spend all this time online, and, you know, that's not true. What's true is that Americans have incredible integrity, and this is true of people around the world. But particularly at this moment, I'm always struck by how smart and how courageous the people who are fighting this industry are. And, you know, they're on the right side of history. So you get this feeling that we're actually onto something, and we're trying to do it with a great deal of precision and smarts and political strategy, but also with a great deal of pride and kindness, you know. So I think that there's something there that has been the most exciting. What I'm surprised by is, you know, how Barack Obama, a man who was elected by neighbor talking to neighbor, by a popular uprising of support, by a grassroots campaign, is still not with the program. Still not getting the right information, still taking the information from the natural gas industry and not from the people. And it's so important that we make an impression on him as a person who I know when he understands this. Like you said, that there was a person in the stands from the Irish government who didn't know this. I have this feeling that he has not properly absorbed the information about what's going on. It's the largest domestic natural gas drilling campaign in history, the largest drilling campaign in on the ground in American history.
Well, we have,
he's got to get the message, and we have to send that to him.
We have the opportunity here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania right now, and through 20 cities throughout our nation, to see Gasland 2, Part 2. I would like to remind everyone that that will be Monday, June the 17th at 6:30 p.m. Doors open at 6 at the Brockle Middle School, 114 West Morton Street in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It's open to the public and it's free of charge. And if you are an activist, and I'm sure you are if you're listening to this program, that you will want to be there and tell your friends about this film. Incidentally, Josh, you will be there, will you not?
Absolutely. That's the whole point. I want to be there to be able to answer questions. There's usually a great panel that's resources for the community. you know, there's the film will be on HBO July 8th. We're going to be doing, we're organizing house parties for people to have a party when they're watching the film on July 8th.
Right.
But there's nothing like being in the room.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to be there and meet everyone.
Great. And if you want more information out there as you're listening to us, please visit www.gastruth.org. Josh Fox, thank you for talking with us. We are following your life very excitedly.
All right. Well, thanks. And if people want information on the tour, it's at gaslandthemovie.com as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you much.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of The Press.
There is not a lot of magic in Now You See Me, even though the film's milieu is prestidigitation. There are digital special effects aplenty, the kind of cinematic magic we expect in sci-fi, fantasy, and action films. The special effects in Now You See Me cannot distract from a weak screenplay with half-baked plot and lack of character development. Now You See Me inadvertently proves a motto said in the film by one of the magicians, quote, "The closer you look, the less you see," unquote. To that, I would add the Tallulah Bankhead quote, "There's a lot less here than meets the eye," unquote. Well, the premise of Now You See Me is that of a group of magicians. It really is, as advertised, a crime thriller, and at that, it's not a very good one. The storyline purports to be about magicians who, for their first trick at their MGM Grand Las Vegas casino show, rob a bank in Paris and then distribute the money to the audience. Their second trick is to deplete the bank account of their financial banker. Their third trick is to empty the money in a security vault. The screenplay presents none of this in a remotely believable way, but rather tries to justify it with after-the-fact explanations which disrupt the film's pace. Digital dazzle and a preposterous plot device, that of the air duct, right out of the late Roger Ebert's The Little Book of Hollywood Clichés. Now You See Me squanders a considerable talented cast. There's Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, Isla Fisher, Dave Franco, Mark Ruffalo, Melanie Laurent, Michael Caine, and Morgan Freeman. There are a few good dialogue scenes between the lead actors, but far too few. In addition to the special effects, a French Connection-style New York City car chase, a chase on foot, and an intense fight scene, and explosions, and fires, they're all thrown into the mix. It is as if the screenwriters, lacking a valid storyline, said, "Hey, we need to fill in something here and pump up the excitement." Director Louis Leterrier, who directed Clash of the Titans, The Incredible Hulk, Transporter 1 and 2, seems more suited to action films rather than actor films. The screenplay has the pedigree of a committee. The three screenwriters are Ed Solomon, who wrote Charlie's Angels and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Boaz Yakin, who wrote Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, Dirty Dancing, Havana Nights, and newcomer Edward Ricourt, from a story by Yakin and Ricourt. The key to successful magic, we are told in Now You See Me, is misdirection. Sadly, for you and me, the filmmakers of Now You See Me took that advice literally. Now You See Me is MPAA rated PG-13 for language, some action, and sexual content. Opening June 14, Man of Steel. The Superman franchise gets a new look, new actor in the title role, Henry Cavill of TV's The Tudors, and a new plotline. Clark Kent, a.k.a. Superman, battles invading aliens, his own, from his own planet, in the sci-fi action film directed by Zack Snyder, who directed Watchmen and 300. Film also stars Amy Adams, Russell Crowe, Diane Lane, Kevin Costner, and Lawrence Fishburne. Also opening June 14 is This Is the End. The apocalypse looms during a party at James Franco's house in the comedy, co-directed by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. I'm Paul Willistein of the Lehigh Valley Press at the movies for WDIY.